Welcome to the Water Channel Podcast, a series of conversations on water, food, agriculture, and environmental sustainability. We feature stories and talks that reflect our present and are shaping our future. This is Long Huang from Meta Meta. In this episode, we invite you to visit the beautiful Jordan, a relatively small country, probably most known to many of us as a country bordering the famous Dead Sea. Nowadays, Jordan is also famous in the water world. It constantly ranks top 5 in the list of the most water-scarce nations of the world. With the average total amount of rainfall at around 100 mm per year, the country, with a growing population of 12 million people, is working hard to fight water scarcity. Here, every single drop of water counts in the most literal sense. Today, we have the great opportunity to talk to scientists and a policymaker from Jordan to have a peek into Jordan's water challenges and see what it takes to fight water scarcity. It is my great pleasure to welcome and introduce our guests, Dr. Muna Garabai from the Water Authority of Jordan, Professor Tariq Al-Najjar and Professor Muhammad Washa from the University of Jordan. A very warm welcome and thank you very much for making time for our conversation today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
To begin with, water scarcity is a classic challenge in Jordan. It almost felt like a default situation when we talk about water in this beautiful country. What does it actually mean for the people? Can you please give some specific examples of how water scarcity look like? May I invite Dr. Muna perhaps to start with?
Yeah. Jordan have the second rank in the world and the availability of fresh water. We have 100 per cubic meter per capita per annum for each in Jordan. And we have too many challenges with the availability of fresh water. The first is that the availability of ground water is limited, and we have that drought and the climate change that affect the recharge of the available aquifers, and the water table is always decreasing, and within few years we might have a dry freshwater aquifers. And also we have a problem with the rapid increase in population. In a decade, the population have been doubled. We have around 12 million of population in Jordan. And we have also the problem of energy resources, limited energy resources, and most of the water resources available are far from the highly populated areas. Part of these resources are located in the Jordan Valley, where it is in a very low spot area, starting from minus 400 meter till around 150, minus 150. So you can imagine for how many meters we have to pump the water from this lowest area till the highly populated areas where there is Amman, Erbid, and Zarqa, Balqa located. So the availability of the energy resources also is highly limited, and we have a high energy consumption due to the location of these resources. At the end, all these challenges put pressure on the Water Authority of Jordan, on Ministry of Irrigation, to find the proper solutions to increase or to fill the gap between supply and demand.
Thank you very much, Mona, for the quick overview. That is at the national level, and I'm curious about some more personal experience. Could you share some thoughts here, Dr. Tariq?
Now, it is a big challenge, as Mona said that. Why it's a big challenge? Because we need water for everything. Most of important we need for drinking. because the water is not only for agriculture. For example, my family in the north of Jordan, she received one day, few hours, just all of the family stand up and working on that. And some people that did not have enough money to storage. Okay, so that it is, this sector is very, also because we are living in Aqaba since more than 30 years ago, that tourist sector is very important to offer them the water.
Yeah, now to put things a little bit in perspective, I'm curious, why is water scarcity getting worse in Jordan? And how does the future look like? May I invite Dr. Mohammad to share thoughts here?
Yes, you know, we can imagine that a small country like Jordan, we are facing a rapid increase in population. This put a pressure, not just for drinking water. Although we have arid and semi-arid environment, but in the Jordan Valley we have the possibility to make agricultural activities. This also, and using a traditional way of irrigation, this is also a pressure to water resources. We have, since we are using traditional way of irrigation, we have to fulfill the need of local vegetables and fruits from Jordan. So this is also another pressure for water resources in Jordan. Desalination is a solution. We have to consider, as my colleagues mentioned, the cost, the resources. We have a lot of strategies actually started in Jordan, leading by different ministries, the local authorities. We are thinking of different ways of desalination, brackish water, seawater desalination. So we have plans, we have clean and clear strategies, and the government is working very well in this perspective.
Yeah. Also, I want to mention about the population increasing. It's like an unforeseen change. We cannot expect how the population is increasing because of the unforeseen political actions around the country. In the last few years, we have a high flux from the Syrian area, up to 2 million. Of the people there, so you can imagine what is the challenge on how to plan for that. So the planning for such a situation within these challenges is also a challenge.
All these examples suggest that water scarcity is indeed very alarming. What is Jordan doing then to address this challenge? May I invite you to give an overview of actions being taken from your own professional perspective, please.
Okay, about the scarcity of water in Jordan, and the solution or strategic solution is going toward the desalination. Desalination, we have two options. Either we go to aquifer, okay, deep for aquifers. Deep aquifers for fresh water, and or either going to the sea, the Gulf of Aqaba, for marine water desalination. So that for me as a scientist, both of them is working, yes, but we have a lot of examples around us. You have for example examples in Saudi Arabia, we have examples in Oman. They produce a lot of water they need for different uses from the sea. So that I think doing desalination from the sea is become a good solution.
Dr. Muna, would you like to add something here? Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, a lot of things Waj is trying to implement. The first is to look at unconventional water resources. Like my colleague mentioned about the desalination. We have two parts of desalination. One is for desalination of brackish water in deep aquifers. But again, when we call deep aquifers, means that we need to abstract water from a very deep wells, and that means we need energy, sufficient energy to do that, in addition to the challenge in disposal, brine disposal, which will affect the environment. Maybe this challenge is less if we make these desalination in the Jordan Valley. We have the Dead Sea. We can through the brine we can dispose the brine in the waters toward the Dead Sea. But inland, it's a challenge, and the cost will be maybe the double because we need to make brine management. On the other hand, the government is looking to have a full implementation of the main project that we call Aqaba Amman Water Desalination and Conveyance Project. This project is planned to have 300 MCM per year production. But again, this project is far from the highly populated cities. It is located in Aqaba, on the Red Sea, to desalinate the Red Sea water. And there is we are planning for a long pipeline with a length of about 350 kilometers. So you can imagine how much energy we need and what will be in the investment. It will be a very big investment regarding to our national budget. On the other hand, we have other also strategic that we are trying to apply, like the reducing the non-revenue water, like the water wastewater reuse. Actually, in Jordan we have 28 central wastewater treatment plants, and most of them of the effluent after treatment is used for water use, for irrigation, for restricted crops, growing crops. So this is within one of these strategies that to keep using this for restricted crops. This water, quantity of water, is considered as part of our water, the total water budget. In terms of demand, water demand management, as I said before, that we are almost the poorest country in the supply of drinking water. Because of this scarcity, we learned by time how to make this or to manage this, the demand inside our houses. Like my mother, my colleague, my relatives, all of them do this because the water is scarce. We don't receive water only once, sometimes once per week, and in some areas once per 3 weeks. So because it's the scarcity, we learned how to do that.
Very interesting. Thank you very much. And would you like to add something here, Dr. Mohamed?
Also, it's important to talk about public awareness, the need to especially for us, since we are scientists, our role from the universities, research center, to focus more on this issue by giving, explaining for our students the importance of how we can deal with this issue, water scarcity in Jordan, public awareness, workshops, even using the media in different ways to increase the knowledge, so we can at least minimize the misuse of water resources.
So, taking stock of all the solutions that we discussed so far, I can see that desalination is one important pillar in Jordan's water strategy, next to water reuse, to demand management, and to awareness raising. Let us take a closer look at this intervention. From my experience in other countries, desalination is often not a straightforward solution. It requires a lot of technical know-how, and over how to balance the costs and the benefits, as well as considering the environmental impacts. Can you share some thoughts about this aspect, please?
talking about environmental impacts, there is different branches of it, either for operational impact, before and after. Working at the Marine Science Station, we are looking at the environmental impact in the water ecosystem. So one of the most important challenges is the depth of the water, how we can, the way of taking the water within the brine. This is an important issue, how we can deal with the brine. Different ideas based on different research studies have been conducted, talking about how we can reuse the brine, reintroduce it in the marine ecosystem. So this is important. This is a challenge for us. Taking the benefits of having international collaboration, we can get new ideas by experts. For example, here we are in the IHE. They have good experience dealing with desalination. So we were lucky, actually, in Jordan to improve our building capacity, human resources, to cover all these aspects related to the environmental impacts of desalination in Jordan.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And Dr. Tariq, yeah, please go ahead.
The problem of desalination is not brine only. The additives also, yeah, the chemical for preventing calcification, I think, on the ROV system, then it's not only hypersaline water, also there is a chemical additive. Still, we don't know the effect of this to the marine organisms. It's very important.
Thank you. And what about the cost of turning salt water into fresh water? Could you share some insights here, Dr. Muna?
Yeah, actually, desalination of seawater cost around $1 in the normal case, but in Jordan, because the sea is located far from the highly populated cities, the cost mostly is in energy consumption for the transportation of this water or the product, the permeate after desalination towards these cities, and also that big infrastructure, the big investment that we need to invest in this, in the facilities, in the intake, the desalination plant, the big reservoirs, and that long pipeline. So these two components, energy and capital cost, both contribute in the cost of the cubic meter. The plan for the strategic desalination of Red Sea water. The estimated cost, it was planned to implement the project as a BOT project, and the estimated cost for one cubic meter is around $3. To compare that with the world, it's much less. Yeah, so you can imagine how this would put also a challenge on from where we would get this all these expenses.
Okay, let me add something also about the energy. The using of energy, it's very important. In the Gulf Aqaba, we have sun 12 hours at least, and it is sufficient for using the solar panels for producing, and after that this is will reduce the price of power.
Yeah, it's not a straightforward solution that we can apply regarding the solar energy. There are too many interferences. To introduce hybrid or let us say renewable energy for this project.
Yeah, thank you. What I take from our discussion at this point is that there is still room for improvement, and there are many knowledge and technical gaps that need to be further addressed. So Perhaps in this context, I would like to hear from you about the role of sciences and technology. What added values can scientists and engineers offer? Maybe I would like to invite Dr. Mohamed to share your thoughts.
Okay, so we can answer your question dividing it into two main categories. I'm working in a research center dealing with research, and my colleague Dr. Tariq is working at the university, so mainly for teaching. Together we are researchers as well. So I think that in Jordan we have a good opportunity. And we are, I believe that we are lucky also to have the Marine Science Station in the Gulf of Aqaba. We are a research center for marine research. We are covering almost all different branches in marine sciences. So we are doing a lot of monitoring programs in the Gulf of Aqaba. And I think the presence of the Marine Science Station there with their laboratories, the staff there, technicians, we can be a positive, we can have a positive role in the future of desalination in Jordan. I strongly believe that when we start working with desalination plants, we will keep monitoring water quality, adding it even new parameters basically designed for desalination. I think this rule is very important for us. Regarding the presence of the University of Jordan, and we have also a good opportunity that we have a faculty of basic and marine sciences, and I will leave the floor for my colleague Dr. Tariq to cover this issue.
Okay, you said two words, very important word, science and technology, and you said first science, not technology, and then science. Okay, because science can produce the technology, so the scientists can produce the technology, the best technology used for desalination purposes. So that in Jordan, we have a scientific capability. Okay, in different, we have different universities, but I think we lacking the technology. So that we are looking always for the centers like here in Delft, the place where we are, they have both technology and science, and the scientists from Jordan, here in Delft, they received scientists from Jordan, like Mona. She's spent 2 or 3 years, she got her master degree in water technology here. So that all the potential here, I mean that it is coming from the human resources in Jordan for both men and women. They now aware about the technology. In Jordan, as I said that we are Jordan University Aqaba branch, we have a faculty of science, basic science and marine sciences. We have full professors. So that we are not dealing with the technology, because technology it's need engineering professors. So that we are take care about the environment, the Gulf of Aqaba, the marine environment, to make a balance between the getting the using the marine water for desalination, and at the same time we need to keep our sensitive environment in the Gulf of Aqaba. This is the first part.
It's famous for corals. Huh?
Yes, especially for the corals and other marine organisms, especially also the larvae, which is sucked by the water to the desalination plant. And at the same time for the brine, we don't know still now, we need more study. What is the effect of brine to the marine organisms? Again, we have different laboratories in Marine Science Station, as we discussed yesterday, that we can initiate a training center for desalination. It is not only for Jordan, it may become a regional in the cooperation with Delft.
Thank you. And yeah, Dr. Amuna, if you would like to add something, please go ahead.
Yeah, I want to add on what my colleagues, Dr. Tariq, mentioned about the contribution of the scientists in two ways. The first is in the environmental impact assessment of all these projects, either for seawater desalination and the effect of the brine on the Gulf of Aqaba, and also for the brine disposal of brackish water in inland, which is the big problem of or bottleneck that we are facing. And we cannot make any desalination plants inland before we manage the brine. On the second hand, the science and all these studies can help us on solving proposing the techniques on how to make the treatment for a very difficult water quality matrix. In deep aquifers, we have a lot of water quality problems that makes sometimes it's very difficult to treat it. So I think through pilots, through technical studies by the scientists, can help us to optimize the treatment and reach a solution in that.
Indeed, we see the very important roles of science and technology here. I would like to take a closer look through an example of the SCARCE project to make things even more concrete. You all participated actively in the SCARCE project, which is funded under the Water and Development Partnership Program, DUPC. How do you see the added values of SCARCE, but also similar other research projects?
Yeah, in SCARCE project, we have addressed two challenges or two topics. The first is that at the start of thinking about the seawater desalination project, we don't have a water quality baseline or historical data. And for the desalination project, you need a specific parameters. There are historical data for the ecosystem, monitoring the ecosystem, but not for the design of the desalination plant. That's why in this project, two or three instruments have been provided to the Marine Science Station. We have already designed a water quality monitoring program for 6 months, and we built like a baseline for this water quality that we need. On the other hand, we have the component of brackish water, and in this component we focus on a specific decentralized plant called FAFA. And we have like a hands-on training on how to make reassessment of the pre-treatment design and the RO design. So we made that jointly with Dr. Branslav. And we have already awarded that. We built like a TOR and prepared a tender document to implement the rehabilitation and the redesign of the plant in order to improve the performance, increase the water quantity produced from that plant, and as a result we have already increased the quantity product produced and also reduced the energy consumption. So it was a good hands-on training on how to do that and to apply this assessment to other decentralized treatment plant that we have in Jordan, about 35 decentralized plants. We have a good number of brackish water desalination plants.
So talking about the SCARCE project, we have learned a lot from that project. So starting from March 2018, We have signed at the Marine Science Station the contract with the IHE. And since that time, we start making several methods, several ways, just to, in order to improve our building capacities. So we had several training on new parameters, basically for desalination purposes. And it was for us a great opportunity to get not just the training on how we can make this this kind of test, but also the project offered for us the possibility to purchase the equipment. So we have specific now equipment at the Marine Science Station to measure the cell density index, modified fouling index, together with some biological properties like calculating, estimating the ATP concentration activities in seawater. And all these parameters are new for us. So we started sampling, making, generating data, and this, I believe, it is it was very important for us because we want to continue monitoring using these new parameters, including them in our existing monitoring program, and for sure the stakeholders will be very happy to have new parameter, new values. They have significant values for desalination, for the desalination future in Jordan. So this was basically our main goal, main target in the project. We were also lucky to host a master's student from Yarmouk University, Ma'an Al-Khawald, did his thesis hosted by the University of Jordan and Yarmouk University at the Marine Science Station, and it was also covered by the project. So this was an important branch of how we can improve and enhance our human resources, building capacities for the benefit of Jordan.
Yes. I think we can all agree at this point that joint research and international partnerships are of paramount importance, if I may put so, to advance our knowledge and technological capacity to address water scarcity. Desalination is such an important example in this case. So to wrap up our conversation, I would like to invite your perspectives on how to further develop these kinds of innovations and these partnerships.
Talking about partnership, as we have mentioned previously, we improved our human resources. We have new equipment at the Marine Science Station. So looking for international collaboration, it is very important for us. I strongly believe that keep on working with the IHE is very good for us. We and in the few days here in Delft, we met different scientists from different parts of the world. We shared different ideas about what's next step, the future of our partnership, and I'm optimistic that we will continue in preparing proposals, asking funds from European Union, even from the government of Netherlands. And I think this is our responsibilities as researchers and academics, to work together with our colleagues from authorities in Jordan to go on and to keep on working on this project. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, one thing that, as a scientist, okay, or a professor of the university, I'm looking for the Marine Science Station to be a research center for training of desalination, not only for Jordan, but also for the region.
Yeah, thank you very much. And what about you, Dr. Mona?
Yeah, talking about partnership, in the point of water authority of Jordan is very important, because we need innovations or unconventional solutions to address our challenges. So that came from the side of this researchers and also all these technology providers. And I think I actually have a good network in that. To bring these technologies to solve our problems. Yeah.
Right. Thank you very much, Dr. Mona. If I may capture what have been mentioned, then it is bringing in more partners, capacity building, and keeping on innovation. I can't agree more with these highly important elements for Waterworks, and I would like to wrap up our conversation with these high notes. I thank you all very much for taking time to share your ideas, and I wish you a very good health and very fruitful research year in 2023.
Thank you very much.
Also,
we would like to send a few words of thanks to our audience on the Water Channel. We hope you enjoy and find this episode as interesting as we do. We wish you best of luck, and until next time.